This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark Wong Xiaoning and our very special guest who has breezed into studios this morning at precisely 7 o'clock. Kusu Zhuang, welcome.
Sorry.
Yeah,
not breezed, just burst through the door in a state of panic. I thought I was going to be late.
So, the bull that you are, right?
No bulls. Just like a swan, gracefully sliding across the lake.
You are many things, but a swan you are not.
It's okay. Aspirations are good for everyone.
Yes.
Well, welcome to the studio this morning, Chuang. And we have entered the business end of the show. So let's take a look this morning at US stocks, because stocks are headed for a cautious start to the week ahead of a slew of earnings reports, with US equities continuing to flirt with some all-time highs.
So the pound dropped after Boris Johnson failed to win parliamentary support for his Brexit deal. The Dow closed nearly 1% lower, as did the Nasdaq, but the S&P dropped less by 0.4%.
Meanwhile, if we look east, China's third quarter GDP growth, which missed market forecasts, slowed from its second quarter 6.2% expansion, weakening world markets. So the Nikkei, although they defied gravity, edged up 0.18%. Shanghai Composite plunged 1.32%. Hang Seng closed 0.5% lower. Kospi fell 0.8%. Singapore Straits Times also dropped 0.4%, while the KLCI fell 0.2%.
So for more on global markets this morning, we have on the line with us Kingsley Jones, founder and chief investment officer at Jevons Global. Thank you for joining us, Kingsley. Good morning. Now, Brexit was a key event over the weekend. British MPs compelled Prime Minister Boris Johnson to request for an extension. What's your outlook on the pound as well as the British economy?
I think that the bottom line here is that there's still a lot of confusion, obviously, as to what the outcomes will be. PM Boris Johnson certainly has inked a possible deal, but as you would have noted, he was forced to actually pass on a letter to the EU requesting a delay. So it's all very confusing as to what actually will happen. I think for those reasons, as you saw with the reaction in the currency market, investors are still going to be pretty nervous about the UK, and they're probably expecting that the UK economy is going to be soft going forward. And that means stocks and the pound itself will probably be weak.
Yeah, Kingsley, last week we saw that Chinese GDP grew at the lowest it's been in decades. What's your sense in terms of whether this new normal for the world's number two economy, or do you think that these growth rates will pick back up if we eventually see a US-China trade deal?
Well, you know, certainly if we do see a comprehensive US-China trade deal, I would expect the growth rate to improve in China. But as you mentioned at the beginning, this declining growth rate really does seem to be secular. I mean, the Chinese economy has been growing at a breakneck pace for some decades, and what we're now seeing is maybe a bit of a normalisation of that growth, certainly to the 6% level, if not into the 5 to 6% range. Our hope is that this preliminary trade deal that was announced will go ahead, but we certainly think that that would be very positive in terms of, shall we say, steadying the horses and having an environment where we could see maybe a more comprehensive deal next year. That would be a positive for all concerned.
So, Kingsley, back to that deal between US and China, how do you think, do you think it will come true in the end?
Well, look, it could get derailed. As you've seen, there was the US vote concerning Hong Kong that did inflame tensions a little bit with China again. And we just can't know what's coming down the turnpike in terms of presidential tweets from Donald Trump or reactions on the other side from China. However, from a practical point of view, what I would say is I think that this so-called Phase 1 deal, given that it includes agriculture as a big component, that could certainly help solve the problem China has right now with the African swine flu having decimated much of the pork production. And so there could be a basis to move forward, and we'd hope that's what happens.
And Kingsley, now earnings season is underway in the US. Are there any particular companies that you're excited about?
Well, in season, we saw the banks open the season with Bank of America, JP Morgan, and Citigroup reporting along with Goldman Sachs. And that was a bit of a mixed bag. I mean, JP Morgan and Citigroup were okay. They kind of held up by their retail. Their business was supported by retail lending and such. Goldman Sachs obviously is having a difficult time. So, I mean, the financials there, it's okay for the time being, I think the big worry that we have is those weak retail sales numbers that came out last week. And, you know, buried within that, it's possible that that's simply a result of weak car sales and gasoline sales going with that. But we'd certainly monitor that going forward. The other area of concern is just the transport stocks. You know, the package deliverers like FedEx and also the rail companies like Union Pacific. So we're a little bit concerned about some of the softness we saw in the earlier numbers there. We'll be watching that closely. On the positives, we think that core enterprise software remains okay. So that's companies like Microsoft, Accenture and Oracle. So we'll be watching those closely. And elsewhere, there's this streaming wars that are heating up between Netflix and Disney and Apple and a range of others. So we'll be looking closely at that. Our favourite stock in that area is Comcast. That's one that we own, and we'll be looking to see how their results pan out.
Well, thank you very much, Kingsley. And that was Kingsley Jones of Jevons Global in Sydney, with quite a positive outlook on the tech sector, particularly, as he mentioned, Comcast, whereas he does have some doubts over things like the transportation sector over in the US.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, all those will be predetermined by where oil prices are and where demand is. But as always is, where the economy is very different picture in terms of where the Federal Reserve goes with interest rates. Economy might be healthy, but the Federal Reserve might still drop rates and vice versa.
Well, as we know, the Feds tend to be very data dependent. So maybe perhaps they looked at the retail sales numbers that came out last week and be a little bit mindful that, yeah, things are indeed really slowing down. So I think the market is kind of expecting probably a rate cut in October, if not definitely one by year end.
Yeah, so all eyes will be on that FOMC meeting this month. But the other thing that Kingsley mentioned that was interesting was the issue of the African swine fever in China, and whether or not this limited trade deal, because it has such a focus on agriculture, will actually alleviate some of the issues there. Because there have been some reports recently also that corn production, corn producers have started to suffer in China because of the fall in demand for corn as a result of hog feed. There's not as much hog feed required because the swine fever has really decimated the population. It's nearly nearly halved the pig population in China.
Yeah, on the flip side, bacon prices have risen to a 20-year high.
Is that a fact?
Yeah, that's a fact.
I did not know that.
Everything, the economy moves in circles, right?
Expect those gastro pubs and gastro cafes to hike prices soon.
Well, also taking a look at some other international headlines this morning. Speaking of the US, all US troops withdrawing from northern Syria are expected to be relocated to western Iraq, with the US Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper, confirming this over the weekend. And he told reporters that under current plans, about 1,000 soldiers would be redeployed to help stop the resurgence of the Islamic State.
And of course, Donald Trump has previously pledged to bring American troops home, so this is a bit of a vault fast. But meanwhile, a Kurdish-led force said it had withdrawn all fighters from its besieged Syrian town of Ras Al Ain, and correspondents said it appeared to be part of a wider withdrawal under a US brokered temporary ceasefire pact between Turkish and Kurdish fighters.
So under the temporary ceasefire, the Syrian Democratic Forces had agreed to withdraw from area about 120 kilometres stretching from the Tal Abyad to Ras Al Ain, although Turkey wants to ultimately control a much larger area.
Speaking of Trump, though, there has been some other Trump-related news this morning because apparently he has now abandoned plans to host next year's G7 summit at one of his resorts in Florida after bipartisan criticism. So in a series of late tweets, Trump said he was reversing the idea because of, and I quote, crazed and irrational hostility by Democrats and the media, because critics were saying that the plan was evidence of Trump using the office for personal gain, which, of course, the White House denied.
Yeah, I saw that on CNN last weekend, and I couldn't help but, you know how CNN, they've got these like moving tickers from the bottom of the screen, and then it says, oh, you know, G7 to be held at Trump's own resort. Then I thought to myself, do they pay? If so, how much? And over on what terms? Because there's so many conflicts potentially, right?
Yes.
And it's just a minefield. Why would he do that?
Because in his own words, right, Trump said his resort was big, grand, with tremendous ballrooms and meeting rooms.
He said that,
it's
right?
It's the perfect venue, he says.
He's mad.
Yeah, so
there goes Trump.
So speaking of cost, right? So White House Acting Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney originally announced this, he did say the resort would be made available at cost and would save millions of dollars. But
he didn't say whose cost,
yes,
right?
But, and nevertheless, critics did point out that the resort would also stand to gain rather a lot of publicity from the allocation. location of the G7 meeting. Also this morning, the International Air Transport Association have come out to put some pressure on the Hong Kong government, specifically to offer financial relief to airlines hit hard by the protest crisis that has crippled the city since June. Now, IATA have said that financial relief is needed to protect an industry supplying 330,000 jobs and 10.2% of Hong Kong's GDP.
That's a lot. 10% of GDP is a lot. So IATA calls the 15.5% drop in passenger departures in August, quote-unquote, a steep decline that is almost unprecedented for major markets.
Well, a similar plea was also made by the Hong Kong Board of Airline Representatives, which speaks for most of the airlines operating out of the city. The board last month asked the government to reduce the fees it charged airlines, among other costs, to help carriers survive the downturn. The government has so far unveiled no substantive relief measures for the aviation sector. But the one thing about Hong Kong is that it has this amazing ability to bounce back. Remember SARS? That really, really killed tourism, right? The travel, I mean, not just Hong Kong, but Singapore. But maybe some... This has been a while, though, the protests.
Yeah, and then remember some commentators saying that this is the end of Hong Kong as a financial centre. Come on, right? I mean, London was... The death knell was called for London years ago, the financial crisis. It's still going strong.
Despite Brexit.
Despite Brexit. Despite what Boris Johnson might do.
Yeah, I guess the worrying thing for most commentators who are saying that, you know, this is the end of Hong Kong as the financial hub is that it's... The view is very much that they are angering China and what are going to be the potential repercussions of that.
Well, if China doesn't have Hong Kong, then what does it have? Shanghai, Beijing, maybe. But then, you know, it comes with all that luggage of Shanghai and Beijing, right? Hong Kong is seen as Hong Kong because it's autonomous in a way, right? Quote unquote.
Well, only till 2047.
Yeah, but then you know what? Deadline's always extended. You know, like Brexit sometimes. You know?
I mean, it very much looks like Hong Kong's deadline is creeping closer by the day rather than being actually extended. But nevertheless, this is going to be an ongoing conversation. Right now, we are heading into a few messages for you, and then we'll be back with some local stories. So keep it here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.